Carter Conlon, pastor of the historic Times Square Church in New York City.
Faith says, God, your plan is better. Favor is God opening the heart and saying, here's everything you're going to need for what I've called you to do, what I've called you to be, and where I've called you to go. And I believe with all my heart that 2019 will be the year of faith and favor for you.
Thanks for joining us this week for A Call to the Nation with Carter Conlon in a message titled The Year of Faith and Favor, drawn from John 10 and Acts 9. It's a powerful message for this still new year, so let's join Carter right now.
The title of my message is 2019, The Year of Faith and Favor. 2019, The Year of Faith and Favor. John chapter 10, please, if you would, and also the book of Acts chapter 9. John chapter 10, and the next book to the right is the book of Acts chapter 9. If you just put a marker there. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, who can debate but that the thief is running almost unchecked? I'm talking about the devil himself and the powers of darkness under his hand are running almost unchecked in this generation, stealing, killing, and destroying. Everything that the Bible talks about as God and good. And I thank God, though, that Christ speaks of us. Yes, the thief is stealing. He's killing, he's destroying. And some of you know that firsthand. You say, Pastor, you know exactly what my life's been like up to this point. I've had a lot stolen from me. And a lot that should have lived died. And a lot that should have been secure was taken away and destroyed. But Jesus says to you, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now that's for you. That's not for somebody else. It's not just for those who've got a good track record. It's not just for those who've done it all right. It's not for those who have memorized more scripture than anybody else. It's an open door. It's an open door for every heart, for every life, everyone who's hungry, whether you're on the right path right now or you're on the wrong path. The promise of Jesus to you is life. And life more abundantly, not just eternal life. That's a promise because of the cross. But God promises a full and inspired and exceedingly abundant, divinely led, purposeful, God-honoring, fruit-bearing life on this side of eternity. That's the promise of God for you. For you. You know, thank God he didn't say in this verse, I've come that a few might have life more abundantly. No, you and me, all of us. He is the door. We go through that door, and it says in the verses just before that, you go in and you come out and you find pasture. In other words, every time you open the door of this book and you go in, you find something that gives you strength. You find something that gives you more life. You find another victory. You find the strength to go another mile. You find the strength to keep on for another day. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 indicates that many, many people or called by the name of God in the last days will settle for an appearance of godliness without any power behind it. An appearance. Just a new clothes, big Bible, going to church, cleaning up the vocabulary a little bit. But it's all simply just appearance. The abundance that's promised is not behind it. The new life is not behind it. The ability to reach into darkness and bring life and light is not there. Thank God. The Lord's brought you here today, and he's brought me here today, because I believe in my heart that you're not willing to settle for that kind of a life. I believe that you're not willing to be a spectator in a divine arena, having been drafted, in a sense, to Team God, holding the papers in your hands, but refusing to believe that you can actually get into the game. Somehow, maybe afraid to get hurt, maybe afraid that you'll be embarrassed, maybe afraid that your abilities are not what they ought to be. But I want to remind you today, the abilities that God gives are not of you. When you walk into the work of God, there is a divine enablement comes into your life. Something of God becomes yours that is not attainable by knowledge alone. It's not attainable by human effort. It's only attainable by the indwelling presence of Christ. It's Paul who said in the book of Acts, in him we live and move and have our being. Christ in you, Paul says, the hope of glory. Paul knew this life. He knew what he had been. Jesus warns in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 8 that in the season of Christ's return, which I believe we're in now, there will be a people who claim to belong to God but have no divine ability in their life. They've never been taken out of the natural and brought into the supernatural. They've never let the hand of God inside of them begin to animate them and move them and lead their thinking. They've never walked through that door. Everything is in the natural. They've never been willing to go through the open door that God sets before them, that place and that purpose that he's ordained for their life, that they may be used to bring glory to his name. They just simply won't go through that door. And there will be people in the last days that maybe theologically know that the bridegroom is coming, because Matthew 25 seems to indicate they became aware of the nearness of his return, but they have no ability inside. They can't see. They have no vision. They've got no oil inside, and they have no voice. There were others that were saying, behold, the bridegroom, go out to see him. But you see, they couldn't see, because the ability we need to see is God-given. It doesn't come from human effort. Their prayer is as it's always been. They turned to those who had oil and said, give us of your oil, because that had been always their prayer. Give us. They came to church, oh God, give us, give me, enhance my self-image, make me a bigger, better person. And some of these things are necessary in the beginning, but there's a point where they fail to understand that the abundant life that Jesus promises is for two reasons. Firstly, to glorify God on the earth, and secondly, to lead others to the knowledge of who he is. That's the reason for the abundant life. It's not to consume it upon myself. It's not so that I may sit back and say, look how good God has been to me. Although that's part of it. But you and I are called to bring glory to his name on the earth. We're called to live in such a way and allow God to be something inside of us that our testimony becomes, I got to tell you what Jesus did for me. There's an inner knowledge, I could never do this for myself. And to lead others to the knowledge of who he is. Leading others to the cross, leading them to that ability that God wants to give them, that they too might become an expression of his kindness to this generation. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. In other words, you are a people separated unto God. You are a people who are given a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, a new song, a new life, a new path, new abilities, new strengths. God does something so powerful in your life that all you can do is shout about it from the rooftops. And people who see what God has done in you, just like the book of Acts chapter 2, 3,000 coming home from the religious exercise in the temple, 3,000 very devoted people, but very dry, very empty after all of the things they were involved in the temple. And they suddenly encounter 120 people who have a living relationship, a living presence of God inside of them. And when they saw and they heard what came from these people, suddenly all their religious exercise fell to the ground, and they said, what must we do to be saved? We are called of God. We are called of God. We are called of God. We are called of God to proclaim his praises, because we've been called out of darkness and we now walk in his light. In Genesis 22:18, God's promise to Abraham, which of course through the Jewish people, subsequently through our Messiah, now to us, is that in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. This is the purpose of my life, is that God would take me and use me as a blessing to others. It has been my experience. I believe that's maybe why God brought me here in the first place. He sent David Wilkerson to warn of the coming judgment on the city and perhaps on the nation. And he also told him that we were to gather a remnant as a church. In other words, gather a people who can still hear the voice of God. I believe this is why the Lord sent me here in some measure, because I have an experience with God. I know what it's like to have nothing to bring to him. I know what it's like to be taken out of the natural and into the supernatural. I know what it's like to be taken on a journey for which I am completely unqualified to travel, apart from his presence in my life. I know what it's like to be delivered from the walls that bound me on every side. I know what it's like to be taken from one place and brought to another. So I'm not bringing you just a theory about a relationship with God, but an actual experience that has been mine. The people of God of Abraham's generation, they were led out of captivity and brought right to the shores of divine promise. And that, of course, as many of God's people are like that today. We're captivated by something. And when we came to Christ, suddenly prison doors open. Suddenly we're given new abilities, or at least we're aware that we have new abilities, and we're brought to this incredible place of promise. We start opening the Word of God, and we start seeing something in it that God has for us. But they refuse to go in. Isn't it sad? They saw it. They saw the fruit of it, but they wouldn't go in. And not going in, the majority of them lived and died in a barren, fruitless place. You know, we in America, as a church age, have been largely marginalized. Largely, our voices have not been heard. Our influence has not overly been felt. It's tragic when you consider that the people of God are more and mightier than the people who are godless, who are now dictating the agenda for a nation. Because many, many of God's people have stayed on the outside of that place of promise for them. That's really the reason why. We've gravitated to church, and you know, sadly, we've hoped that we get a high-profile preacher and that'll bring the people in, or we've hoped that our new carpets will bring them in. We've hoped that our choir will bring them in. We've hoped that a sign outside will bring them in. But it's you that's supposed to bring them in. It's the people of God. You are the voice of God. You are the representative of Christ. Your life is supposed to be compelling. You remember Jesus told those, the parable of the master who created a feast, and then the final group he sent out to gather people to this wedding banquet, he said, go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Compel them. Compel them. Let your life be a compelling testimony. Let the passion of your voice indicate that you really believe what you're trying to tell them. Let the love in your heart compel them to come into the presence of God and into the house of God. And in this nation, we've abdicated maybe for a generation our duty, our ministry, our calling. But just like in Moses' day and Joshua's day, another generation arose that were willing to go in no matter the personal cost. Willing to go in, willing to be separated unto God, willing. The scripture says, the people will be willing in the day of your power. In the day when you are willing to show yourself strong, you will find a willing people. Say, God, I'll go with you. And where you lead me, I'm going to follow you. And the beginning of God's favor starts with faith. And faith begins with a prayer. This is where I come to the book of Acts chapter 9. A man called Saul, on a journey, on a religious journey, might I add, as he saw it. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Suddenly, the presence of God was all around him. Suddenly, he felt something of God that he had never felt before. None of his religion had ever given him this feeling. But he felt as if God had literally surrounded him and come to him. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you standing up against what I want to do in your life? Why are you resisting the call? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. In other words, Saul, I've been prodding you in a certain direction and you've been pushing against it. I've been trying to move you to something through which kingdom of God is going to be made known in a way deeper than you think it can be made known. but you have been resisting it. How many of us does that speak to today? Where the Holy Spirit says, I've been prodding you, I've been whispering to you. It's that thing that you put on headphones so you don't have to listen to that voice any longer. I've been speaking to your heart about something I want to do in and through your life. I've been speaking about something I want you to put away from your life. But you're resisting the things that I'm trying to do and the places I'm trying to take you. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. This is where it all began in Saul's life. Obviously, he now had a physical affliction. The Bible tells us he couldn't see. Because of the brightness of the light, he became blind for 3 days. When his prayer could have been, God, please give me back my sight. He could have been self-focused, but being a determined man by nature, his prayer was the prayer that unlocked something of God that gave him words that we're still reading today and are guiding much of the testimony of Christ worldwide. Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, he was doing a lot for God the way he saw it up to this point. But having an encounter with God, all of that now changes. And all of it becomes, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you even dare pray that prayer? Do you dare pray it this day before we go into 2019? Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, he didn't answer him right away. He said, go into the city and you will be told what you must do. And so this is the word of the Lord to you today. If anybody here wants to pray that prayer, you go home. The Lord says, you'll be told. I'll open it to you. I will speak very, very clearly to you. You will know what you need to do. There has to be a willingness in our hearts to, just as Paul, to have our journey changed. He was on a journey, and having an encounter with God, it changed the course of his life. To have his plans put away, and a new plan formulated by God coming to life in his heart. And to have his self-identity put away. That's incredible. Imagine God, everyone God meets, he changes their name. You ever notice that? Saul becomes Paul. Cephas becomes Peter. You look at all the people and are you willing to have your identity changed? You know, some of you, you really think you're just a real mover and shaker, right? Maybe he wants to change that. Oh, you're going to shake eventually. Trust me, you're going to get old like me and you're going to start shaking naturally. But your self-identity, what you think you are, where you think you're going, what you think your life is going to amount to, what you think it's going to look like 10 years from now, an encounter with God changes all of that. You know, some people think they're just going to make it big in the business world, but you're going to be a missionary. You're not going to be a businessman at all. The willingness to have all of these things interrupted and replaced with the divine purpose that God has for my life. Let 2019 be the year that you and I believe that God's plan is the best for our lives. That's where faith comes in. We simply believe, God, your plan is better than mine. Your ways are better than mine. Your thoughts are higher than mine. This could be the beginning of something miraculous for you. 2019, the year that I gave up and gave it all to God. The year that I said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. The year that I surrendered my heart fully to the will and to the ways of God. The year that I believed that his plan is better than mine. And the year that I received the divine enablement to live an abundant life into which he has called me. Faith says, God, your plan is better. Favor is God opening the heart and saying, Here's everything you're going to need for what I've called you to do, what I've called you to be, and where I've called you to go. And I believe with all my heart, for many, most, and hopefully all that are here today, that 2019 will be the year of faith and favor for you. The year that we rise again as the body of Christ. The year that you bring so many people to the house of God that we can't contain it anywhere, any building, on any block, in any part of any city. The year that we rise as a church, the year that we roll away the stone of whatever stone has been placed in front of us, the year that we hear the voice of God and are called out of inability and called out of just being paralyzed into the life that God has for us. The year when we begin to believe, God, whatever you have for my life, that's what my life is going to be. I'm going to go inside of the boundaries of this place you promised, and I'm going to believe it. And when the door opens, I'm going to walk through it. When I first got called to speak by the Lord, you know my story, right? I would run out of a room if people's attention focused on me. So paralyzed by fear, so feeling judged, so feeling like a failure or like I was going to fail that I didn't want to run the risk of it. Yet God opened the door and started asking me to speak in certain places, little groups of people, 20, 15, 12. And I remember they'd be introducing me and I'd be dry heaving in the bathroom. But I went through the door. You'll never know the power of God till you go through the door. You don't get the power before, you get it when you walk through the door. You walk through the door. You'll be amazed what God will begin to do in your life. You'll be amazed where he'll take you. You'll be amazed at the journey that he'll send you on. You'll be amazed at the boldness, the wisdom with which you speak, the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly you're just walking into your neighborhood. You see a person you've known for a long time and God gives you a word for them, which breaks down all of the resistance and all the barriers. The next thing you know, you're crying and praying together. You're leading them to Christ. You watch what God will do in your life. I firmly believe in my heart that 2019 is the year the church rises. The year the people of God come back to the fore. The year that we finally realize who we are again. We are the people of God. We are the testimony of Christ in the earth. We are not just marginal players in somebody else's game. Each of us are called into the body of Christ. Each of us are gifted. Each of us are given a pathway. Each of us are given abilities of God to do things we could never do in our own strength. The year of faith and favor. The year, like in Joshua's day, where another generation rose up and they said, okay, we're done with the wilderness. Our parents may have chosen to live there, but we're not living there. We're going into that place that God has promised us. We're going to find our inheritance in Christ. And if there are giants there, we don't care. We're going to fight them and we're going to beat them and we're going to win. Because that's who God says we are. I'm going to face every giant that ever stands up against my life, my home, my family, or the testimony of God that he has determined to establish through me. And by the grace of God, we will be the church. By the grace of God. We've known an anointing in here, folks. We've had 31 years of the presence of God here. Now we're going to know the anointing out there. By the grace of God, every home is going to know the anointing of God. When you walk into your place of work, the presence of God will walk in with you. People around you will be suddenly convicted of their sin and they don't even know why. By the grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And so here's my altar call today. Let 2019 be the year in my life, O God, where I believe. And your favor starts coming into my life in a new way, in a deeper way than I've ever known it before. Let this be my year. Lord Jesus Christ, if you're coming back soon, I don't want to have standing there with an empty basket. God, let me bear fruit for your kingdom's sake. Let my life be a testimony of who you are. If that's the cry of your heart, we're going to stand up in just a moment. And here in the main sanctuary, the balcony and the annex in North Jersey, as well as all the people in our home fellowships. I challenge you to rise up and be the church. I challenge you to rise up and be a supernatural church. I challenge you to rise up and believe God for what you can't do in your own strength. I challenge you to rise up and become the person you can't be in the natural. Let him take over. Let him give your life purpose and meaning, abundance and a new song. And you watch what God will do. People are hungry. They're starving for truth now in this generation. And they're looking and longing for the church to arise. Praise be to God.
The message today has been brought to you by Carter Conlon, pastor of Times Square Church. Be sure to download a free 10-week Bible study at itstimetopray.org. Plan to be with us next week for A Call to the Nation with Carter Conlon.